This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 12 years, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon and into what stuff means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. You can listen to episodes online, get them off iTunes or Google Play, or subscribe using a podcast app. Whatever way you choose, they're free and there's a new one weekly. The 16.9 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported from the start by Jeremy Gavin and his team at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. Wayfinding is one of those core technologies that makes consumer lives better and easier. Helping people locate where they want and need to go in places like shopping malls, airports, healthcare facilities, and higher ed campuses. There are numerous software companies out there that include wayfinding capabilities in their platforms, but only a handful that have been laser-focused just on delivering that solution. One of the most successful ones is MappedIn. The company started as a sideline for some students at the University of Waterloo, which most observers would call the top computing school in Canada. Hongwei Lu and his buddies thought they could solve a problem for students finding their way around the sprawling Waterloo campus, and then at a local mall and a casino up the highway. There was enough there for Lu to quit school in his second year. Just a few years later, he's running a company with 60 employees, some big outside investors, and clients across North America and globally. I spoke with Lu about MappedIn's roots, what works and what doesn't, and how the big moment came for the company when serious research showed that good wayfinding can mean millions of dollars in incremental sales for shopping malls and their tenants. Hongwei, thanks for joining me. Can you tell me what MappedIn is all about? The name kind of says it, but let's just kind of go down to the wood here and tell me what it's all about.
Yeah, sure. Dave, thanks for having me. So MappedIn, we help people map the indoors, digitize their plans, and then ultimately create wayfinding experiences to help people find stuff. We do this mostly for what we're known for, I guess, is doing it for most of the malls in Canada and a big chunk of them in the US, international properties like the Dubai Mall and so on. But at this point, we've branched out also into hospitals, casinos, airports, you name it.
Yeah, I want to ask about that a little bit later because it seems like shopping malls have certainly been the early adopters, but there's a whole bunch of other places where, good Lord, it would be helpful if there was a better way to find your way around.
For sure. And I think, you know, one thing that we always have to do is do a little bit of education with the client because, you know, of course, we want to create these great user experiences, but the world used to provide wayfinding user experiences on paper or on signage. And a consumer can accept that, you know, that might be 10% wrong. Things do change indoors. I get that you haven't printed it yesterday. But once you start offering people digital, you offer them a digital screen, a digital app, a digital website, the expectation is this is 100% correct. And when things are changing that frequently indoors in malls and airports and schools, that actually becomes the first problem we solve. So there's a lot to the business behind the scenes that does all of this. But then, of course, understandably, to the world, MappedIn and our clients, we're all about wayfinding.
Now, if I'm remembering correctly, the company started when you were still in university. And were you going to Waterloo?
Yes, the University of Waterloo, which I guess you must be familiar with from Burlington.
Computer science?
Engineering, electrical engineering, which I barely used.
Okay. Well, I'm sure your parents are still happy anyways.
Yeah, they are now. I would say they were quite unhappy for the first 2 years of the business when I was supposed to be in third year and fourth year.
And you were living and working out of an apartment and eating ramen noodles?
I still eat ramen noodles. I actually think it's one of the tastiest things out there, but everything else has gotten a bit better.
So you're at one of the really good schools in Canada, well known for engineering and for computer science, and you saw a problem finding your way around the campus?
Well, for us, sure, we saw the problem, but I think for us, it was just that. It was a problem. It wasn't a business. So, you know, the original group, we just said to ourselves, you know, let's do this on the side. This could be fun. School's not too fun. You know, we're passing, but let's see if we can help people find stuff indoors. And let's just do that as a project on weekends, you know, whenever for the school, for it, then it turns out the local mall and then the local hospital, then the local casino, strictly projects. And over time, it sort of morphed into a business when it got very serious.
And at what point did it get serious? Were you done school at that point, or you quit school after the second year?
Yeah, no, I would say it got pretty serious about a year in, and I was halfway through my second year at that point when, you know, we had already shipped and delivered for Conestoga Mall, our very first customer and you know, kind of my lifelong friend there. And we had won the University of Waterloo to do a mobile app for wayfinding. And we had, you know, Casinorama, a casino in Orillia, Ontario, coming online soon. And we had visibility on, you know, maybe a hospital that wanted to go next. So we felt there was enough work to do there to actually hire somebody for the very first time. We weren't paying ourselves. We continued to not pay ourselves for probably the next 2 years. But I think when there was a paycheck online, that's when I took a year off school.
And you never went back?
I get invited back all the time, but now as an alumni. So it's a funny thing.
Now that you, in theory, have money that you can put into the school.
Yeah, it turns out that's actually the most important thing.
So at some point you decided, okay, Mapped In is a real business. Did it start as Mapped In, or did you call it something else?
Called it Mapped In from day one, although it was a placeholder until we thought of something else. So 6 years in running.
And you decided to take an office and you hired your first person and you started doing, I guess everybody was doing biz dev. Everybody in a company does biz dev anyways.
Well, actually quite the opposite. So the company was started by three engineers, CS types, computer science types. So we all wanted to build stuff. I built the original map editor. Somebody else built the back end. Somebody else built the front end. We all built stuff. I think I was relegated to sales because I was the least awkward among us. And I've sort of gone deep into that direction ever since.
All right. So the pitch was, you will help Conestoga Mall, you will help Casinorama, all these places assist their guests in finding their way around. And what was the original product? What did it look like? Is it a typical wayfinding application?
Well, so the original products actually differed quite a bit from customer to customer. Okay. So at Conestoga Mall, you know, Sandra Stone, the GM there, and again, I think she was retiring this year or maybe last year, but she was fantastic. She was a visionary she got it. She said, hey, she saw the demo that we had recorded a video of because that was the version that worked. And she said, I get it. I think I want this in my mall. This is the digital version of that static board I've had forever. And that thing cost me money. So yeah, you know what? We're ready to try this. And we signed a contract within a week and got to work. So that was a digital directory. It was 16:9 horizontal, like landscape format, on a pedestal, kind of inclined at an ergonomic angle. It was all the money I had in my bank account to wire to a California company to ship two of those off their line over to Waterloo, Ontario. And we had to get it off the back of this discount rental truck. And our software, of course, was what we actually delivered, which ran on these directories for the screen, but also the management software and the configuration of the PC and the player, as the industry now calls it, to make sure nobody can break out so that, it, you know, tomorrow morning, some kid doesn't figure out how to get YouTube running or worse. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, so the first product was on these directories. We shipped that in November of 2011. We really, I would say, perfected it and got it working the way we wanted in early 2012. And that was a digital directory. For the University of Waterloo, it was purely mobile. So, you know, it's a really big campus. Every student shows up with a mobile phone. Let's build a mobile app for the University of Waterloo to get around campus. And for Casinorama, it was a mixture of both. So let's do a, you know, a very different design of a digital directory interface, because for them, it wasn't finding a store. It was finding, show me all the 5 cent slot machines. And then, okay, or show me all the Cleopatra themed slot machines. So there was a very specific logic to how they wanted to filter and how they wanted that experience to go. And I can tell you, by then we were thinking, geez, you know, good thing this is a project. This is not a business. We're just doing custom things over and over again. Mm-hmm. And luckily we figured out along the way that actually on the back end of these three projects and the next three and the next three is that the underlying work that was always the same, that was always the most important, was how do we keep this information up to date? You know, a casino will switch around 10% of its slot machines every week. Not the banks, just the individual machines based on their own yield optimization algorithm. A average mall would have something substantially change every week, mostly the pop-up stores, the kiosks, as they call them, that sell pillows.
Right.
But those are tenants and you got to find them. or Santa Claus is moving in and out. And so the changes that happen, I mean, we have a case study now with some of our biggest clients like Simon Property Group, the world's largest mall owner. It used to take them 3 weeks to update maps across their organization. Now it takes 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I think that tool that we had built for ourselves, because we hated doing the work, slowly but surely became the core product of the business. And I'm so glad for it, because that's actually a product, and that's what's helping us win contracts today.
And that must have been a big moment when you go from making the pitch to the mall operators in particular that this is going to save you a whole bunch of time and grief. Because I would imagine, and I've had some exposure to working with malls, they would say, well, yeah, that backlit sign, we do have to print a new version quite a bit, but it's a backlit sign. It's printed vinyl. It doesn't cost this much. This digital display that you're advocating to put in would cost me thousands of dollars plus the software and on and on and on. No, I'm not doing that. So what made that big shift?
Well, so I guess to continue to move chronologically, the big shift was that, you know, malls and really most physical, like, customer-facing establishments, buildings, they invest hundreds of millions of dollars every 10 years. If you're Yorkdale or the Eaton Center or a premium tier one mall, you're spending $100 million every 10 years on physical experience, on marble, on
water fountains,
amazingly tall ceilings, water fountains. And that doesn't make money. It's just nice. Yeah. It's user experience. And compared to that, they spend less than 0.01% on digital experience. Mm-hmm. But now the world, of course, starting in the early 2000s, started moving digital. And everybody expected digital experiences. And in a physical setting, when you're trying to find stuff, the most intuitive and obvious and painfully absent digital experience is wayfinding. You know, can I get GPS indoors, Google Maps indoors, whatever you want to call it. And so I think the early adopters for us were folks who both understood that it was time to invest in the digital experience and cared to do it efficiently and cared to solve the data problem, which immediately becomes apparent. You know, we like to joke to our customers that we normally win second. You got to go try this once, you know, hire an agency, build an app, build a directory, build a website, build it as pretty as you want. And then a month later, you're pulling your hair out because it's so expensive to maintain because things are constantly changing and digital requires real-time accuracy. Then you give us a call, right? And we take it over and we give you tools. We've built a word processor for maps. We let all of you collaborate and our stuff works. So I think that's been what's been driving the company for the past 4 or 5 years in our core markets, in shopping centers and in other neighboring verticals is the combination of I need a better user experience than I have and I want to scale it up efficiently and contain my costs.
Yeah, one of the things I've seen through the years with wayfinding directories is end users who are enchanted by, the, as you just said, the pretty pictures and the radiating circles and lines that dynamically draw a path to get you to where you want to go and so on. And I've always thought, well, that's nice, but I just want the damn thing to work. And
for sure,
if I stand in front of this directory and it says I need to go 3 levels down and 200 meters this way, I'm not going to remember that for the 3 minutes it's going to take to find my way down to where that is. So give me something on a phone as well. And I gather that you guys have kind of figured out that, I guess over time, that you need to integrate these two things.
Yeah. And you know, that's exactly it. And we believe that, you know, all the experiences for wayfinding should be linked, you know, whether it's on a directory, on a phone, on a website, even on a printout, they should at least look the same. And currently they don't. They're all made by different people. So our first patent, which was forever ago, and I hated writing it, was a mechanism to transfer the directions that you had just configured on the big directory onto your phone. So you walk up in a mall, you use one of our products, you search for the thing and it's really far away and the directions are confusing. Well, you'll get a prompt now to say, hey, you know, scan this QR code, which finally every phone supports natively in the camera app. And it opens up the mall's website pre-configured to here's where you are, here's where you wanted to go, follow me. And you don't have to do anything, but just look as you go. So we're pretty excited to relaunch that now that QR codes are better supported. And that's one of the most important things to us is we call it productivity, but it's really just customer success. You know, this pretty, and I get that, but I think maybe it's just based on our engineering backgrounds. We care about hard outcomes. And we were very excited last year to do a study with one of our customers where we did a pretty rigorous statistical study with a PhD economics prof from the University of Waterloo to assess the before and after effects of providing better search, better wayfinding, better mapping inside shopping centers. And what we found is that, well, you know, if you control for basically everything we could think of, you know, differences between different malls, having control malls, differences between stores, making sure we compare the same ones, unemployment numbers between cities, the weather, traffic patterns, and all that stuff. If you try to control out all of those variables, we still saw a 2.28% increase in total sales in a very large shopping center after the introduction of digital search and digital wayfinding. And, you know, the theory behind it, because really all we can do is guess as to why for now, is that if you make people more productive, they might buy more stuff, right? 30 years ago, the mall was the only game in town for 10 kilometers, and now it competes with the internet. Yeah. So people have a finite amount of time, and that's true everywhere. But now it's more and more true today that whereas before you had people who just browsed and 99% of your shoppers are browsers and they come by no matter what, now a significant percentage, let's say up to 40%, are hunters. They're saying, I need at least these two things. This is what I came here for. And sure, I'd love to check out other things too, but I have a 5 o'clock dinner, you know? So I think that was our core belief. And now that we have this metric, we've been essentially optimizing everything we do on front end on consumer interfaces for productivity. We think that's how we can help our clients improve their businesses. And that's our core mission.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you can increase sales by 2% in a mall, maybe that sounds like a small number to some people, but to the retailers in that mall, that's massive.
It's tens of millions of dollars or more.
Yeah. And they can actually, you know, the malls can, that can impact their cost per square foot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you think about outside of the ball, what about the casino? Well, the exact same thing, right? You know, not to make a joke, like grandma only has 6 hours before the bus leaves. So productivity is really important for them too. And if you think about, you know, places that are more hospitality driven, well, let's say a theme park, your experience at the theme park is essentially how long you spend on rides versus looking for them or waiting. Or you think about things like hospitals. And here in Canada, of course, it's all public and it's all taxpayer paid. So when somebody shows up late for an appointment, they don't lose money. The state loses yeah. money. And people show up late all the time. So for us, productivity is the North Star when it comes to wayfinding. And on the back end, it's that can we make our clients more productive in maintaining maps too? Because otherwise, it's this gigantic manual effort split across countless teams doing it separately. And you put those two things together and we think we have a pretty strong business case. But of course, it takes clients that are looking for that sort of thing to really get it.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75 plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
Without giving away your secret sauce, what is it over time that you've learned works in terms of the user experience? What do people want to see and use versus the stuff that's just eye candy?
So I think, you know, you probably gave it away right there. I think that we drive people towards search and wayfinding because that helps them find what they want. We've seen digital directories out there that have selfie features that have add a filter and then you can type in your email and it sends it to you. Meanwhile, there's probably a line behind you for people and they've given up at this point because it's Black Friday and they need to move on. Or things like that, right? So I think for us, we've really focused and narrowed down and how can we build these things? And we do it really data-driven. So, you know, again, I guess you could call this secret sauce, but we've been iterating weekly for 3 years on this, where we look at how often somebody hits the backspace key in the on-screen keyboard for every directory. And we optimize the design of the keyboard itself to create less backspace keystrokes. And we've been doing that forever. And we found out that if you increase the size of the keys by like, you know, this X percent, it's better. If you take out the custom keys and you actually do a non-standard keyboard, it's better, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that that kind of stuff moves the needle by a small fraction every time, but we do it all the time. And the outcome of that is, you know, as we believe, is a better experience. And all of our clients can share in that. So we help them build a personalized, configurable experience that looks like it's their brand, it's their mall, it's their experience. But the keyboard is the same. You know, it's a different color, a different language maybe. And the map renderer is the same, and the wayfinding algorithms are the same. And that gives us the leverage, if you will, to invest more in that capability than our would-be competitors for that local mall. Because we're taking the view that everybody in the world who runs a facility that wants to do wayfinding should have the best tools out there, and they shouldn't pay somebody else or pay themselves to build it from scratch. This is Office 365. This is Microsoft Word. Everybody should be using it. And what you type with it, how you configure it, how you make it yours is what makes you different. But the functionality should be there. And I think it's table stakes, frankly.
Right. The flip side of it, though, God knows, I'm sure you've been in the meetings, the initial meetings, with those end users who are dazzled by the three-dimensional graphics, or, as I said, the radiating circles and things like that. How do you get people beyond that and thinking, as you say, about the table stakes, the stuff that really matters?
So we support 3D graphics too. And in fact, all of our 2D maps are managed in 2D, but are extruded into 3Ds because it is more intuitive and it looks really good. So we've supported that for a while. But I think when they get into things that we believe deviate too far from, you know, productivity and from good experience, just we kind of try to wheel out the facts, right? We gotta prove ourselves. We kind of just don't wave our hands here. So we have all these case studies, we have research, we have, you know, all these files that we can trot out to say, well, you know, respectfully, I don't think that's a good idea, and here's why. But you're the customer, of course, you know, like we'll try to make it work. And sometimes we say no. Sometimes we say, sorry, you know, we don't do that. If you want, you can find a custom agency and we can work with them. We can provide them with our backend tools and our frameworks and our plugins. And that actually does happen from time to time where, you know, there's a great firm called Express Image out in Minneapolis that we're pretty happy to work with,
because
they build, yeah, they build phenomenal front end experiences. And now we get to power all the backend. And that's what we're really good at anyways. So, you know, they can pull in our mapping engine. They can pull in our wayfinding if they need to. They'll certainly use our backend for data management. And their clients who really wanted something that looks completely different and has maybe very specific features, they can get it. And that's the best of both worlds. So happy to do that.
Your company has grown quite a bit in the past year. I think I read that you've pretty much doubled your headcount.
Seems to be going that way. Yeah. We're about 60 people right now. We started the year this year around 34. So I think we'll end at around double.
Huh. Why has that happened?
Well, I think last year we really put our heads down and said, you know, obviously we have raised financing. We bootstrapping would have been possible, but would have taken forever. But last year we said, let's run this like a bootstrap company. Let's go profitable. And we ended the year with basically the same amount of money we started with, but we had more than doubled the size of the business and, you know, expanded into all these different new markets. So that gave us the confidence to say, okay, well, it's time to invest again. So that's one. The other one is that, and do it in a cash capital efficient manner, of course. But the other one is we finally said, let's go overseas. We've been in North America for a very long time and very grateful for the clients that we've worked with there. And now I think in our core markets, everybody kind of knows who we are. They're in a certain buying cycle. Maybe they would have done something 2 years ago that they just have to live out with for another 2 years. So we've expanded into Australia. I think we just won a pretty big deal in the Philippines. I got a check with the team. That was last night. We have a customer in the UK now that's taking us into mainland Europe. And so we're finding that a lot of these international markets are relatively underserviced when it comes to our software and our capabilities. And that's been a huge engine for growth for us this year.
And are you selling direct or going through channels like the Express Image guys?
I fly a lot. We mostly sell direct.
But it would be your preference, I suppose, if you could have companies like Express Image just have you guys under the hood?
Well, yeah. So we do have some very good partners of ours. Express, I think, is an emerging one for us, and we've enjoyed working with them. We also have partners like Elo, of course, on the hardware side, BroadSign on the software, content side, NetDisplay Systems out in Amsterdam. We even co-market with Samsung half the time in their booths. So I think some of these partners have been really good to us, but we view that as marketing. At the end of the day, we got to sing for our own supper, and we're the only ones who care as much as we do about getting wayfinding and data management done right. So our typical working framework with partners is co-marketing, and then we each show up and sell our own stuff. And that seems to work the best in my experience.
And you're pretty much staying in your lane. There are a number of software CMS companies that have interactive solutions that include wayfinding. I'm thinking of like Four Winds and Omnivex and some other ones out there that do a full content management platform, but also can do wayfinding if that's what you want. You guys, I suspect, could probably do a core level of content management because you're doing all the data handling and all that, but you stay the heck away from that and just provide the wayfinding platform?
Yeah, I think stay in our lane is the perfect analogy, and we say that to ourselves all the time. This is what we want to be good at, and there's a huge problem we find in neighboring verticals when it comes to managing maps, managing location data, and that's a hard enough problem, frankly. I think without naming any names, that the folks who try to do it all, well, they were underinvesting already in their CMS capabilities. They really underinvested in their mapping capabilities, and we've seen it, and we've replaced it. Happens all the time, and the client kind of signs up for one-stop shop and then realizes none of this is working that well. This wayfinding thing is supposed to be, everyone else seems to have this amazing interactive experience that has like all these, fine-tuned capabilities. I essentially have a picture, a PNG of my map on this digital screen, and I have to call somebody every 3 months and, kind of describe to them what's changed, and hopefully they update it for me in a time-efficient manner, and they send me a bill like, okay, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. So I think that is what's starting to happen, and that's why we win second, frankly. I think it's an unintuitive problem for decision makers. Decision makers at these properties don't realize that in their organization there's six different teams of people at least who are making maps, and they do it completely separately in their own silos, and they do it by hand. You have one. The website team in marketing prints out the old map every 3 months. They scribble out what's wrong. They scribble in what's right. They draw in what they want to do. They send it around and everyone draws on it. Then they send it to the agency that powers their website, and the agency makes it look good. And the same thing happens on mobile, with their agency. The same thing happens on the directory team with their agency. The leasing folks have created 20 files in that time for prospective sales materials, and they're all working in silos on paper, scribbling around. And that's, once you show somebody that's the case, my favorite moment is when you get like, call it the CIO or the chief marketing officer in a meeting, and you have, some subordinates, you have the folks who know that that's the case. And I say, this is how your organization works. This is how you maintain this data set. It's pretty expensive. And they go, really? We do that? And his team goes, yeah, that's basically it. And then they have to go on an internal fact-finding mission. Let's add it all up. How much does this cost? Oh my God. Okay. Well, that kind of makes sense. I was in Australia, of course, this year. It's a fast-growing market for us. And we had the CTO of one of these very large mall companies show up. I was presenting to the marketing team, but he showed up because, of course, we've now done 90% of Canada, 35% of the US. We're sort of an established brand. He wanted to hear what we were doing. And at the end of the meeting, he goes, this makes sense. Good job. Because we spend about $5 million a year on maps. And the marketing team goes, what? Because that's bigger than their whole budget. And of course, the CTO is referring to all those other teams that map too. And that's why we have a business, frankly, is we want to work with all of those folks. But what we've talked about on this call, what we've done to date as a business, is largely with the marketing folks on user experience. But that earns us the right, if we do it well, to talk to everybody else and say, here's what we've already done. We've already worked with you for 2 years. we're good at this. And can we show you what we could do for your team too?
So this has flown by really quickly. I do want to get to talking about some of the other vertical markets, notably higher education and healthcare. And to me, there's a bigger problem in those verticals just because they're dispersed. They're quite often buildings that are, you know, there's strange little tunnels and walkways, and they're hacked together. So why haven't you been able to kind of crack that market in the same way? Is it just a matter of the adoption curve being early on?
I would say that, yeah, that's a good way to put it. So in terms of the technical capabilities of doing what we call campus level wayfinding, we did that 6 years ago for the University of Waterloo, and it worked. And it was really cool. You could say, like, I only want to be indoors. Don't take the tunnels, even if it's farther away, so I don't get rained on. You can do stuff like that, and we've had that built in. But the go-to-market strategy for hospitals and for, you know, schools, universities has always been a bit more challenging, right? We can meet with Simon Property Group, our first really big international customer, and meet their head office and get 237 malls at the time pulled up onto our platform because they got it. We can meet universities all day long, and they're one at a time, and they need 20 different approvals. There is no single decision maker, you know. Yeah. So it's a lot of non-technical logic. But I think that they are just later on the adoption curve. Malls were probably there 10 years ago too, before they realized, okay, somebody's got to go rationalize this. Somebody's got to go own this. We need to catch up. You know, people are asking for this experience, and I think we're starting to see other verticals get there too.
Yeah, I would imagine now that I think about it, that for you to get a deal with a large hospital, that's probably 15 meetings.
Give or take. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
We actually have a large hospital now, so it's top of mind.
Yeah, so you can hire and assign some poor bastard to deal with that.
Well, I think, you know, we all believe in the mission. We're certainly willing to go through the work, and it's rewarding once we get there.
So what are we going to see out of your company in the next year? Is there the next big thing coming?
Actually, I right now I do think so. There's something big I've been working on, more on the mapping data management side for a new customer segment. So I hope that in the next year we can start talking about it. It's quite exciting for us. But otherwise, we're seeing the core business with our retail, our healthcare, our hospitality clients grow at a pretty good clip. And so coming to a building near you, that's us.
And they would find you online at where?
At MappedIn, MappedIn.com.
Clever. And the name stuck?
The name stuck. And, you know, I remember when we were buying the domain, and it cost $100. And I was like, you know, that's a lot of money. And it's the best investment, of course, we've ever made, because everything else turns out is much more money.
All right. Thanks very much for taking the time with me.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around for more than 2 years. You can click around the archive and find more than 100 conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9 at 16-9.net. There are now more than 6,000 posts in there about this industry. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside beautiful, amazing Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.